Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord. Please, please shower us with your presence. Anoint these pages. Anoint these words. Thank you for everyone who has came in here, Lord, and just in confidence, Lord, and those who may be watching or listening, Lord, just bless the ears to the hearer, Lord, and just thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your name and preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I begin, you know, I'm not going to be touching issues and topics, but growing up, racism has been always around me, but never affecting me. Why? Because my life is in this book. So I give you a positive testimony, though. There was a friend of mine and also a man of color, and we always slept over at his friend's house, and the mother always loved seeing us. The father always enjoyed having us. We always visited his son, and I slept over a lot. And the grandmother at times, always so nice to see us. But one morning, I wake up and I'm going to the kitchen because, you know, it's breakfast time and the man got to eat. So anyway, I sit down and she says, and you know, I said good morning to her and she said good morning. And then my friend was next to me too. And she said, you know what? Growing up, I used to hate black people. Now, in my head, I'm like, well, I guess I'm not getting any pancakes today. No, but in the rest of that statement, she said that I regret it because knowing you two boys and how you treat my grandson, and I see how hard you work. I love you guys as a person, and I feel so bad for all these years having that hatred, and I didn't even know, you know. So in the end of the message, I'll tell you the finishing of that. So let's turn to Matthew 22. The title of this message is Wedding Invitation. Matthew 22. A lot of people are speculating, like, is he talking about his own or? God willing, soon, God willing. All right, so Matthew 22. Now, before we start this parable that Jesus shares with his disciples, the Vine's Dictionary of a parable is this. It is the lesson that is of value. The hearer must catch the analogy if he is to be instructed. Christ's parables most frequently convoys truth connected with the subject of the kingdom of God. Now, there's two dangers of this, and one I'm kind of regretting to announce it. But one important thing on error is ignoring the important features. And then number two is trying to make all the details mean something. Now, tonight, I'm just going to, whatever the context says, that's what we're going to bring out. But there is a little to it that I might, like, Holy Spirit, convict me if I'm in the wrong, put me back in the train tracks if I'm wrong, but I feel like this is just a parable for us right now. And tune with me right now, and you see what I'm saying. So in verse 1, it says this, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. And again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, and a fatted cattle are killed. All things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, and one to his own farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to the servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. And but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and garnishing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." So let's look at verse 3. "And sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come." So this is a picture of the Israelites, no? I mean, in John 1, verse 11, it says, "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." Like, there's a time now where we share our faith, and people are not willing to listen. Or people don't even have the capacity to listen to life. And in the example, you know, they made light of it. They went to their own farm and their own business. And the cares of this life, in Luke 8, verse 14 and 15, the cares of this life comes in and chokes the word, like, of everything that's important. But look at verse 8 and 9. "Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy.'" By the way, he's a king, right? His first servants that were sent out were killed. He's a king. And he was already furious. He could have said, "You know what? Squash everything. You know, let's take all the food out of the table. Let me cancel the plans," right? There's an ego to a king, right? There's a reputation to a king. But by God's grace, he says in verse 8, "And he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.'" Now here comes us, right? The Gentiles. I love John chapter 10, where it says Jesus is the good shepherd, right? And the sheep knows his voice. But and I love in verse 16, Jesus adds on to say, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd." Yes, by the way, that is red letter. That's not a parable. He said, "Oh, I have a plan. This plan is to unite all men to myself, all men through the cross." Right? So the wedding. So here we go in verse 10. "So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests." Now, there's two categories that we just see there. What are they? Bad and good, right? Okay. I might strike some nerves right now. Okay. Just bear with me. How about I'll replace those two words with left and right. All right. Let me replace these words. Let me replace these words with those people, or those people in politics, or those people out there, or people in blue, and it doesn't matter. Let's replace those words. "He went out to for who? Both bad and good. All the ones that are willing to say, 'Yes, I'll go to the wedding.'" This is where he wanted. He was sending out servants for that purpose. For that purpose, he wanted for all to be united. Not saying that we shouldn't be talking about today's issues. No, I feel like the church shouldn't be silent. But it needs to convoy this truth connecting to the kingdom of God. I can say whatever I want, but if it's not relating back to truth, then what's the point of speaking? If it's just adding logs to the fire of confusion and hatred and division, then what's the point? It needs to be connected to truth. And just like Jesus' parables do, all right? And so let's read the rest of it. "But when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment." Now, I think this is a picture of God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness even. You know, God's righteousness changes our righteousness doesn't change God. His righteousness changes us. So a robe of righteousness, or the identity of Christ, this person did not belong. Even though this invitation was free, but yet he didn't belong. But yet he wasn't, he didn't fit in a way. And so, as a believer, we need to realize this is the closest we'll be to hell. And as a non-believer, it's sad to say, but this is the closest they will be in heaven. It's right here and right now. And why I say that, verse 12. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants. Now, let me read the Amplified, because it really, like, there's a little more meat into these final verses. Tie him hand and foot and throw him into the darkness outside. In that place, there would be weeping over sorrow and pain and grinding of teeth over distress and anger. How much you feeling that right now? Sorrow, pain, anger, distress. How much you feeling right now? Imagine this people's eternities already planned for them to feel this experience for a life, for eternity, forever. For many are called, and by the way, that's a discipleship verse. It's not an election verse. It's a discipleship. And I love in the quotations of the Amplified, it says, invited and summoned, right? But few are chosen. And this reminds me of Luke 16, when the rich man is crying out, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus down. Just give him a tip of just a little water on his finger. Just a tip, because my mouth, it cannot be quenched. My mouth is dry. It needs, it's just so much heat going around me. There's so much, flames are in flames. I just need 1 ounce of water, just a little tip. And Isaiah 14, we know the five I wills, right? The five I wills, the rebellion of Satan. But sometimes we miss out verse 9. Because verse 9 says this. It says, let me get it. Where is it? Hell from beneath is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. Listen, there's two celebrations. There's a wedding feast that the Father is preparing for those who are freely invited to come in. And then there's another celebration. One where Satan is excited when he sees the division. When he's excited when he sees the chaos. Actually, in the end of Isaiah 14, it says this, in verse 16, when he is in the eternal pit, we'll gaze at him. Is this the man who made earth tremble and shook kingdoms and made the world a wilderness, destroying cities? And let me add on, is this the one who's breaking marriages, break relationships, have racism as a topic? Have division as a topic, even trying to find its way into the church? Is this the one? Is this the one? This puny little thing? Is this the guy? Is this the guy? We're going to look and just amazed. We're like, wow, he can do all that destruction. All that destruction. We see the news today and we see the chaos. But are we really, really, surprised? Like, here's a lost world. Without hope, without God, what else am I going to expect? Right? What else am I going to expect? Christ made it a way that we can join the wedding celebration. For us, man, every time I look at God, I'm like, God, thank you. Thank you. Like, I'm invited. And not only that, you tell me to come. You tell me to come. You tell me to come. He's preparing it. He's preparing the dinner. He's preparing the oxen and the fatted calf. This is what he's doing, the cattle. I'm sorry. Where there's eternal love. There's eternal unity. There's no division there. That's all there is. So what is the message to a dying world? And let's look at it right now. How did Christ address it? So this is the Pharisees now trying to catch Jesus on a slip. In verse 17, tell us therefore, what do you think? It is lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius, a day wage. That's what equivalent to it. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? Verse 21. And they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar's the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. In a natural eye, he kind of avoided the question. The natural eye. But in a spiritual realm, in the spiritual realm, he's like, okay, there's a wedding happening, which my father is preparing. I don't have time to be distracted. I'm not here to fix a broken Roman Empire. I'm not here to fix the corruption of man. I'm here to save hearts. I'm here to give life. I'm not here which one is right? Which crowd is right? I'm not, basically, you know, back in the day, there was a thing called talk to the hand, right? Someone dissed you and you say, talk to the hand, right? And I think it's evolution to, like, there's a face expression now and then there's a turn away. They don't even say talk to the hand. I think this moment Jesus was saying that. Render Caesar what is Caesar. I don't have time for that. I'm not trying to fix this government. I'm trying to establish my own, which you and I are a part of. Philippians 3:20. We are family of God. We in the household of God. Ephesians 2:19. This is our identity. This is who we belong to. He's not here trying to fix this crazy world and this crazy mess that we are in. He's not into this. See, he wanted us to know, like, no, I'm establishing my own government. My own government, and the cross is what he's viewing. No, there's a wedding out here waiting for people to say yes to. Come. We don't have time to be bickering around trying to show our intellects and how much we know. No, we don't got time for that. Render Caesar's what it seizes. Render Caesar's what it seizes. All right. Yeah, a lot of you are just like, man, is he mad today? No. I'm not mad. I'm just passionate. Okay. All right. So, he's focused on the wedding that his dad is hosting in verse 22. And it says this, when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Why are they marveled? Why are they marveled? Because here's the truth and why are they marveling. Because the word of God really and truly inspires change. If the words out of my mouth are just opinions and just agreement to what you believe, where's the change? You add the word of God to the equation? Oh. Because it's really a heart issue that's out there. It's not about racism and all its shades. No, it's the heart issue. And it takes the heart. And who can change the heart, by the way? Come on. And this is what needs to be communicated to a dying world. This is it. And what is the message to communicate? This is it. Let's go to Matthew 35 now. All right, we're in the tail end of this. All right, 35 verse 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced, Matthew 22, we're still in 22. Sorry about that. Verse 35, verse 240. I see y'all turning. I'm like, wait a minute. Y'all got the study Bible? Like, what's going on with the margins? Okay. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So what is the message? What am I communicating? The love of God. Two Saturdays now where we having little... Cheyenne cheated a little bit with the beep for Jesus, but we're here just working for beeps and just encouragement. I so many people were looking at, especially me, I think, you know, cause I'm black and they were looking at, okay, what's he gonna say about black lives? And then the other crowd's like, okay, I'm ready. And then all I'm holding is God cares. 1 Peter 5:7. That's all I'm holding. So many reactions by that. It's like, oh, that's a different tone. That's a different voice. That's something else. That's a wedding invitation. That's something else. I don't see that out there. I don't see that out there. I see a lot of division. I don't see a message of love. So many, elderly lady came up and she said, I asked if she wanted a little ice cream. We had a little ice cream that we were giving out. And she said, no, I just wanted to tell you, thank you for doing what you do. We need to pray for our nation.
Yes.
Because only God can change the hearts of man. That's it. Okay, so in closing. She said she hated black people when growing up. So what changed her mind? Was my not just me, my friend too, a visitation. Someone that she can reach out, someone that she can know personally, someone she can take the time to know. Not what she's seen in media. I've lived in urban areas, hard areas at times. Hoodlums is how people would call them. I've lived in those areas. You guys know me, and maybe if you don't, take the time to know me. You know, and what is it? There was time investing. Then to come to the conclusion, first her heart was changed to the idea of her hating another race. And then what follows suit? Her mind, her perceptions, everything follows suit. Right? A visitation. What does this world need? Not just a God that they go once a Sunday and say, oh, let me put my Bible in the glove compartment. By the way, that was my life. That was my life. I put this in the back seat for the majority of my life. And then there was a time where I said, you know what? God, this world has nothing for me. Because if I'm searching for a satisfaction in that, I'm caught up in the loop of the confusion, of the hatred. I'm caught up with the mess and the hoopla. And like King Solomon says, nothing's new under the sun. I'm part of a family. It's never been strange for me. I've never felt strange. I've never felt different from anybody. I teach these to the kids. And the kids in Baltimore and kids up here. And maybe not necessarily racism, but it's like, listen, we're all made in the image of God. If I say something about your character, I'm disrespecting God. You were wonderfully and beautifully made. How am I going to have any sense to say what you look like or how you like it? No, God's made you unique. And for me, I'm just disrespecting him. The world needs, and not just a religion. Not just a religion, a personal Christ. Someone that they can get to know. Someone that they can take the time to change their heart. The police force. Yes, there's problems everywhere. But we're not here discussing that. The love of God produces change. The love of God has something to say. You know, in verse 17, Matthew 22, verse 17. It says, tell us, therefore, what do you think? It is lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? All week. Donald, and this is what do you think, face? I'm going to make it right now. Just pay it. Just bear with me. What do you think about the police brutality? What do you think about the fights? What do you okay. What does Jesus think about it? I'm not going to stop my tracks for that. I'm not going to pause because there's a wedding going on. I'm trying to recoup all that I can. That's why I'm not stopping for these little, these little debates, these little fights. I'm not wasting time. There's a wedding and there's people and not only all this we're having, we have the virus going on. Come on, man. Literally, people are dropping. People are dying. What is the message? What are we sharing? If it's not conforming to truth, if it's not connected to truth, it doesn't produce change in someone's heart. What are we sharing? Why are they marveled? Because that's the word. That's what it does. It does that for us. It refreshes us. It gives us energy. It inspires us. The word of God inspires. And this is why. This is why. I'm not talking about any issues. I'm talking about the wedding. The wedding. It's a wedding. It's a dinner. He's got all the food out. So if he has all the food ready to go, you know, in John 14, it says, in my house, there's many mansions. So I know on earth, he was a carpenter. Man, he's building and he's cooking. You know, that's what I'm saying. All right. Lazy boy, you know, chicken barbecue, please. All right. Let me order my plate right now. It's all set. And thank God. wasn't mad. The king wasn't mad and said, forget that. They killed all my servants. They didn't want to hear me out. Forget that. No, he was on the cross. He said, I love you. It is finished. That's what love was. It was a demonstration. It was not all about talk. It was show me how, Jesus, show me you love me. These holes in my hand is the evidence. My life with you that I fill your lips is the evidence. When you see lives and even the elderly, a lady like a sweet lady she was, to say that I regret it. I wasted all this time just to know you too. I regret it. There's an invitation. There's an invitation. And we pray not only here, or we're praying those who are listening, accept Christ and be invited and come in. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I just pray for anybody who has not accepted you, Lord, tonight would be the night. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Please, Lord, let me be a part of the family of God. Let me be a citizen of the kingdom. Let me be part of you, where there's love and there's unity and there's no corruption at all. There's no, even the heart of man, it says, desperately wicked, who can know it? Even the Bible put a question mark in the end. It doesn't even know. It's like, Lord, put me away from the confusion. I accept you. You are my king. Please come into my heart. I want to be invited and I want to come. In Jesus' name, amen.